cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising the sound, o'er hill and dale, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Yuletide is here.
Merry, 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 merry Yuletide. Merry, 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 merry Yuletide.
On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Yuletide is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, that is their song, with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising the sound, o'er hill and dale, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Yuletide is here.
Merry, 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 merry Yuletide. Merry, 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 merry Yuletide.
Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Yuletide is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising the sound, o'er hill and dale, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Yuletide is here.
Merry, 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 merry Yuletide. Merry, 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 merry Yuletide.
On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Yuletide is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, with joyful ring.
Joyful tone to every home.
How the bells, silver bells.
That would be it for today. I'm your host, Peter, and I hope you enjoyed this Christmas edition of Breakfast with the Browns here on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. I just played Zvochkova Koleda by the Canadian electronic artist Carl Moore from his 2002 release Magic Christmas. You also heard Mary Had a Baby by Bruce Coburn and Just Like Christmas by Lowe. And starting the set, another track from the album Seasonal Greetings. You heard Donna and Blitzen by Badly Drawn Boy. The current sudden rise in COVID infection rates indicates that the virus continues to be active throughout our community and has yet to run its course. Though we are about to receive the first shipments of vaccine, until the majority of the population have been given their two doses and case numbers fall dramatically, and despite our desire to be close to family and friends over the holidays, please follow the new provincial health recommendations, which are to restrict your circle of contacts as much as possible, to continue with the physical distancing and hand-washing protocols, wearing a mask in public, especially when you know that you might find yourselves in situations where maintaining physical distance will be difficult. If you have the option to work remotely, please continue to do so and help yourself and others stay safe. These are simple measures that are effective in helping to slow the spread of the virus and to ensure that we come through the holidays without an increase in infection rates. Please be mindful and considerate. Take care of yourselves and others, and have yourselves a safe and happy holidays. Goodbye for now.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year.
When you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
What's up, guys? This is our first podcast. This is our first trial run. I'm OJ, joined by my two cousins.
Hey, I'm Archie.
I'm Archia.
So they're sisters, yeah. And I am their cousin. Mm-hmm. And tell them why we're starting this podcast.
Yeah, we just wanted to create a podcast for the modern Filipino millennial. We've noticed that there's a lot of, you know, younger generation that are looking to reconcile with their Filipino identity. And we just wanted to share some of our experiences, talk about some challenges, and just really just connect with other Filipino youth out there that just wants to be more connected to who they are. So we'll start with OJ. Tell us a little bit more about your upbringing. Where are you from? Like, where did you grow up? Like, what kind of community did you grow up in? Like, why don't you share some of that with our listeners?
Okay, so first, we're doing this podcast in Vancouver. I'm not from Vancouver. I grew up in Montreal, Quebec.
514.
You know, man, you know what it is, man. You know what it is. And I think my community is very unique compared to other North American or Western country.
Major cities.
Because there's already a conflict between French culture and English culture. And then you got the traditional Filipino households.
Yeah.
So I think throughout my first, like, half of my life, I struggled with identifying with which culture to choose from. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're an immigrant, basic education in Montreal or Quebec is if you are not an Anglophone from your parents, if you're an immigrant, basically, you are forced into French education.
Yeah.
From preschool.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn French. And
that's a culture shock already. And
that's
then
a culture
you're being
shocker.
Forced into another culture.
Right, exactly. And then you go home, you speak English, and you have the
Tagalog speaking.
Or in Montreal, Ilocano.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
One.
Ukininam.
Yeah.
So in Montreal, I think it's very unique because we're a very tight community. It's a big community.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows everyone. Everyone.
Yeah.
The block is filled with Filipinos.
Yeah.
But these Filipinos, I think, again, we're unique in North America because they all know how to speak English. They all know how to speak French. And then you get the, you know, that know how to speak Tagalog too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I grew up doing elementary, high school, then moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's kind of, yeah, I've been here since. And at first I hated it, you know
what's
up. You know what it is.
Dark times.
Exactly. And now.
Triggered.
Yeah, now I like it out here in Vancouver. So, but.
Dope.
Well, I'll leave it at that for now, then elaborate later.
Yeah. As for me, I'm Archie. I was born in Montreal. That's why I got such love. Shout out to 514. One of like my favorite memories growing up in the summer is whenever I go back and visit and obviously visit my cousin OJ.
Yeah.
And then I moved to the Vancouver area when I was 4 and then actually moved to the Philippines and stayed there, went to school there, elementary, primary school for 4.5 years before I came back. So when I came back, and a lot of people who know me now would be shocked to know that the first couple years was rough for me because I didn't say or speak or open my mouth. I was quiet because I had a major culture shock as well coming back.
Fob.
Even though from I was major fob. Even though I was, you know, born here, quote, and I should have been more comfortable, but I was in for a major shock. I mean, 7, 8 years old, 8, 9, that's like your foundation years. And when you're kind of ripped up from living in the Philippines and then, you know, uprooting and coming back down, back up to Canada, it's like, whoa, like your whole world changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll elaborate a little bit more about that. In terms of, you know, my adjustment through the years, I feel like when I went to school here, when I came back from the Philippines, I only had a couple of friends and they were not Filipino. And then it was only when I got to high school that I actually had a longing to have like a group of friends that were Filipino. And then since then, I've actually been more connected to Filipino friends. So that's kind of my little gist of my upbringing. And how about you, Archia? Tell us a little bit about yours.
What's up, y'all? I'm Archia.
Woo!
I'm Archie's sister.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in and raised in Burnaby, Vancouver.
Yeah, 604, baby.
Yep. And then, I'm just as a coconut could get, yo. Like, I'm brown on my outside, white on the inside.
You think so, though?
Well, not as much as, like, a lot of other people. I'm more cultured, I will admit.
But would you, like, classical, like, identify yourself like coconut? I don't think so.
I think from it depends
other
on
people
other
may
people.
Think
it depends on who I'm around.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's another seg
That's another segment we'll get into. Born and raised here. I was always surrounded by multicultural people. Didn't really see any other differences.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that we're all human, but yeah, I just had like a more, I guess, I don't know how to explain it, like a modern upbringing of like a...
But how did you feel at home? Did you feel like you had a pretty traditional, like...
Oh, yeah.
Upbringing 100%. At home?
At home, yes. But yes and no, only because I was born here.
Yeah. And that we speak English to you at home.
Yeah. But other than that, I can...
But other than that, you reconcile, so deeply with your identity.
I'm more in touch with my roots than a lot of other millennials these days, I will say.
Well, one of the reasons why we start this podcast is to, like, showcase that us three and probably others more, we love the Philippines. We bleed Filipino.
Oh, for sure.
And we want to, like, express some of our thoughts that we grew up with that still happen to this day.
Yeah.
We have people in our circles that you know, just act differently, but we want to promote the Pinoy pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
And our culture, the love of our culture, no matter the fact whether we were born here, whether we grew up somewhere else, but like that type of love for our culture and our country, our mother country, is deep. It's very strong, and all three of us are really passionate about it, and we just want to, through this podcast, be able to connect with others who are longing to find that type of connection, and we're hoping that if we share experiences and maybe share some of our challenges, that, you know, others there can relate and maybe find some comfort knowing that, like, hey, like, I felt that, like, I heard you, like, that totally got me in the feels, man.
Also to educate, too.
Yeah.
Of course.
Definitely. So with that, we'll start off with the baseline. OJ, you know, when did you become more aware of your Filipino identity? Like, you were obviously in, like, a unique situation. Like, you're in Montreal, French-speaking province, Quebec, and then there's, like, the Filipino community, but then you also have to know English. Like, it's a whole bunch of stuff. So when did you, I guess, become more aware of who you were and what your identity was as a Filipino?
Okay. So going back to, like, my upbringing and our neighborhood. So Montreal, for those who don't know, it's an island.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you split that into three. Like, one third is completely French dominant. One other third is English dominant. And then in the middle is, like, half and half, English and French, which is where I grew up. Now, the Filipino part, which is all the Filipino community, is in that middle part, that French English part. And mind you, no, there's no Filipino parents that know how to speak French. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. It's just really broken. And
they try their best.
It's strongly
Ilocano accented French.
Like, it'll break your ears if you're French. Okay. So, in elementary, there was always Filipinos. Like, because I'm in a Filipino neighborhood, right? There was no
white neighborhood
kids.
Was that, if you know what I was asking things? Yeah.
What's that?
What neighborhood was it?
Oh, so this is, I mean, the gangs call it Uptown, okay? But it's the borough or neighborhood of Côte des Neiges, Notre-Dame-de-Grâce. And it's very much, it's like an area that... neighborhood is where first immigrants come to Canada. So, like, they don't know how to speak English or French usually.
Mm-hmm.
The blacks, the Arabs, the Greeks, the Italians, the Filipinos. But in school, in elementary school, Filipinos were everywhere. There were no white kids. And I thought Filipinos are cool, man. Like, I see them everywhere. So there wasn't really, like, a disconnect with whoever.
You see someone who looks like you. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all there, right? But then was when I went to high school, it kind of left me because I'm more with French people now because my school was in the French side of the island.
Mm-hmm.
So there were more French people. And then I started kind of, like, second guessing, like, yo, where are the Filipinos at?
Because
I missed it, right?
You come from seeing someone who looks like you to a place where you barely see someone who looks like you.
The whole school, like, grade... Okay, we have to change because the educational system is different. So grade 7 to grade 11, there's maybe like 11, 12 Filipinos.
Wow.
And we all hung out.
Years.
We all hung out.
Yeah.
We all
you flocked to each other. You're the only ones.
But isn't that like what, like the natural instinct?
Yeah,
though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, not even just for us. Like for
anyone.
Yeah, anyone, right?
Any culture, yeah.
But like that's when I like when I hung out with the Filipinos out there, I felt like, okay, this is my people. I'm a ride with it. And yeah, there was obviously some conflicting times, like with who I should side with. Like, am I more French? Am I more English? Am I more Filipino? Am I both? Am I
yeah?
Am I what? And it's only like later in my 20s that I realized like how important that upbringing was, because not many people experienced what I felt. But yeah, that's where I'm
at. How about you? I mean, growing up with you, I feel like you had Filipino friends in church, but like non-Filipino friends in school. Is that right? Or maybe for the odd one or two.
Well, in elementary school, I was more like integrated, but when I came to like
actually Burnaby had more Filipinos. Yeah.
But when I came to going like, could we move to Surrey?
How old were you guys?
I think it was like
I was 17. So how old were that?
You're 10.
Like 10.
So
9 or 10. Yeah.
Okay.
So a long time ago. Yeah. So I got more. There's more Filipinos where I hung out with at school, because I think it was also because of what you join in school too.
Yeah,
for example,
like
I was in basketball and dance, and those are two things Filipinos can do.
Yeah.
So
right.
Yeah, I was always surrounded by Filipinos no matter what.
Yeah,
and we like, even if I go to like another class, I'll still be another Filipino there, so I wasn't really like too away from it. It was always about
you're pretty fortunate then, yeah, in that case. Yeah, in my, I guess in my experience, like, moving to elementary school here was rough. It was hard adjusting, so it was very difficult for me to make friends. Like, my first friend was a Serbian girl. And then I moved, and I was devastated because I was like, it's my first and only friend. Like, why are we moving? And then we moved to another area in Burnaby, the Edmonds area. And
I remember that.
Yeah. And my friends were, like, United Nations. Like, I was friends with someone who was Korean, someone who was Serbian, someone who was Latina and Afghani. Like, I had a whole bunch of friends. And unfortunately, we went to separate high schools. And in high school, because I didn't know anybody, I like hustled hard, grade 8. Like, you want to be my friend? Yay, little more friends, right? Hey, vote for me, grade 8 rep, let's go.
Oh, so annoying.
I hustled to make friends. I like hustled to collect people, because at that point I had
tribe.
Like, yeah, I had my tribe, just because I had like, I had no one. So I was like, I got to collect friends, man. So, and grade 8, let's be honest, like for us, like here in BC, it's like, anybody from all the schools is now in this high school, so
yeah.
It's like fair game,
yeah,
and everyone
yeah.
is so friendly. There's no cliques yet, maybe if you're in the same elementary school, but for the most part, everyone like was
yeah.
pretty open.
Yeah.
And then it's only when it came to like grade 9 that I had gravitated towards like a group of friends that were Filipino. Like there were like the guys and the girls, but they were like Filipino. And then we even, for people who went to Burnaby South, shout out.
Which
Rebels.
One is that? Because there's like North, South, like I don't
yeah.
even know.
Yeah, well, there's Burnaby South, Central, and North.
Okay,
yeah.
So which
and there's
the
even
one
Burnaby
that...
Mountain.
Okay,
yeah.
Which one is this one? Like the one that's like.
And Royal Oak?
Burn Creek.
Oh, that's Burn Creek.
Oh.
That's not, that was like, that wasn't even around like when I started high school.
Oh.
So it only started, I think, in grade, it was only constructed and completed when I was in grade 10 already. So that's actually a newer high school.
Oh.
But so I gravitated towards these group of people who were Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
And we even had a section, like there's like A section, G section, and everybody knew whether you played basketball, you had track, or if you're grade 12, everyone knew G section was the Filipino section. Like everyone knew. And also, and the teachers know if you're skipping class and you're Filipino, they'll put you in G section.
Oh my god.
They're like, yo, go to class. So the kind of Filipinos that I had hung out with, they were immigrants, and they had only been in the country maybe a couple years or a few years. Some still were able to hold on to like their Tagalog and stuff. So grade 9, grade 10, I felt like was the prime where I was the most in tune with like OPM or original Filipino music.
Yeah.
I would like when my titas would go back to the Philippines and be like, hey, can you buy me that cassette tape of like that OPM singer? So that was like the peak of, they were older than me. They were like grade 11 or 12. And I was like, great.
You were the youngest?
No, there was like, we were like a bunch of different grades, but we were all like hung out and stuff. We did like, you know, the usual Filipino jamming with the guitar and the freaking basketball gym. But it was like my best and my most favorite memories because like that was I think where I was the most in touch with my identity as a Filipino because I was fortunate to find like you know the same group of people who were so in touch with their culture and maybe perhaps it's because they had just come from the Philippines and because they were new to Canada, new to, you know, to that high school in general. So they graduated, my friends in grade 11 and 12 started changing in terms of like I had maybe like a core group of like guy friends that were Filipino and maybe two other Filipino girls that were my friends, but they're not like the ones that were, they were the ones who like grew up here, right? They weren't like Tagalog speaking like the ones that were, had graduated. I felt like I flexed more of my Tagalog with those guys, but like the ones that were with me in the same grade as I am, like we speak English to each other, except for my friend Monica, who's like pure Tagalog. So, but we don't speak Tagalog.
Were
to
you
each
more
other.
Close to the ones that graduated? Like,
I wouldn't
there, like,
necessarily
you know,
say so, but I felt like I was able to express myself more in Tagalog, and I was able to express more of my culture. But even though those group of people had graduated, when it came to my turn in grade 11, and I had this class called Comparative Civilization, so you learn about different cultures and stuff throughout history. There was a multicultural night or a multicultural show. So you, it's like a group project and then you come up with like a showcase. And then that was like my kind of rallying cry for my own culture. And that's when I like rallied a whole bunch of people. Please do this tinikling with me.
Yeah,
like
the whole combined.
I talked to kids that I'd known from church too. I had talked to kids that were in grade 8. They were grade 8, grade 9. I was in grade 11. I'd be like, do you want to do this like traditional Filipino folk dance with me? And then they're like, yeah. And then it was so awesome because like it also got our parents excited that there's this group of kids that want to express their culture. And then, like, one of our fondest memories is, like, rehearsing at home and then finding, like, all the costumes and, like, fitting the barongs. And then it was, like, such a beautiful memory because, you know, I, like, for whoever had inspired my culture when I was maybe 2 years junior, now I had come to grade 11 and 12 and I was trying to, like, outwardly do the same thing with like people who were younger that way like we could collectively share our culture. So that was where I was really fortunate, but you know that's not to say that it's easy because you know I graduated high school, I went through college, and then I got my first salary job, and I was the youngest and the only minority, period. And then that's when I felt like I nobody had to say it, but I felt that I was different. Like, I felt I was a minority. I felt I was Filipino. Like, I couldn't relate to anyone because they were all Caucasian and in their 40s, and maybe some of them were married, some of them were divorced, and here I am. I was, like, fresh out of school, 21, 22, and I came into this office, and I was, like, the only Filipino. And then the people that I gravitated to were the ones that were Filipino. There weren't very many. There's many, maybe a handful. Yeah, I gravitated towards them, and they were like my ates and my kuyas, really, out of respect. They could have been my parents. But I gravitated towards them because I found comfort in knowing that, you know, there's somebody else that's Filipino. But what I did identify that was like so uniquely different is that a lot of places no matter what company, there are a lot of Filipino production workers. But we will save that topic for another day as to how that system is put together. We're going to shift gears here and now talk about the challenges that we face today still with, you know, claiming our identity, being more open and expressive about who we are. So,
Can I ask you this question that was part of, was there, and I'm sure this happened, or maybe it was just me, was there ever a time where you were like, I hate being Filipino? Like, I don't want to be Filipino?
No, fortunately, no, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think I just felt uncomfortable, but not to a point where I hated who I was.
You?
No, I don't think so. But I think it's more so like the old traditional tactics of like what, like for example, like a topic of body shaming in the Philippines.
Oh yeah, those
it just doesn't, it's not
old mindsets. Those old fashioned mindsets that collide with
that doesn't sit well with me. Other than that, like I haven't had like
you've never felt like I hate being my culture. Yeah. I wish I was white or
Okay, cool. Same for me. But there was times like in a workplace or if I was around these people, because I like to adapt. I'm like
naturally.
I'm a freaking chameleon now. I love adapting. I like knowing other people's cultures and learning about who they are as a person. And sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could, like, because my girlfriend's Korean. I wish I was more Korean. I wish I was more Chinese. I wish I was more like Latino or whatever. But I never felt
Thing where I wished. And it's not to say that I didn't wish I was not Filipino. The thing that I wish that I envy with other cultures is the way that the other cultures have each other's back compared to Filipinos and the crab mentality.
Oh, yeah.
And for those who are not familiar with crab mentality, it's this long-standing thing. I don't know why, but it bleeds through generations and generations. But whenever somebody succeeds, there's always another Filipino that drags them down. So it's like a crab claw.
Or hates.
Yeah. Bashers.
Yeah. Mga netizens, the haters. Exactly. And like when I think of like, you know, Chinese culture or Korean culture, like even the Indian culture, like a lot of why so many other people have been successful wherever they've immigrated is because the, you know, some of the people in their neighborhoods of the same culture have supported them or helped them out, or it's just been a collective effort. Whereas sometimes, and I'm not to say that this is, I'm not saying that we're generalizing here, but let's be honest, a lot of us know this, that there is that crab mentality dragging each other down when you're supposed to boost each other up. And so it becomes exhausting, and that's why people kind of just cancel their fellow Kababayans sometimes. They're like, whatever, I don't care about you, you're canceled because you tried to drag me down. Or like, oh, like there's this type of jealousy.
Yeah.
And I just wished, and I don't know, and I'm sure other people know this more in depth than we do. And I don't know why it's become like a regular quality for a lot of like Filipino communities. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind. I don't know how. Like, it's like learned and developed somehow. And I don't know where it came from. Other than I know that the roots is colonialism, okay? For all of y'all out there who want to just, like, jump in here, we know it starts there. Yes, there's that colonialism that has belittled, like, the native Filipinos. And so the developed thinking that has now bled through generations is to make somebody less than rather than boost them to be greater. So, yeah, I don't understand. But that's the only other argument I have. I still love being Filipino despite that.
Yeah. No, but I love being Filipino. Don't get me wrong, okay? I want us to be, like, successful. I want us to be mainstream.
Yes.
If that's the word, right?
And it's funny how it can't be because we are, like, the most English-speaking or the English is spokening. Asian there is. And yes, we are Asian. I'm going to put a period right there because some people do not identify that we are Asian. So I'm going to put a period right there.
Spanish Asians.
We are in Asia. We might not come off as is because we have the Spanish influence. And yeah, we got that swag.
Yeah.
And the Spanish last names.
Yeah, and we speak English and we speak good English. And it blows my mind when, excuse me to say this, pardon me. Like, especially some Caucasian people, I'll be like, oh, you speak good English. Well, yeah, because we speak English in our country.
I know, you
yeah.
know, some people are so, even, I'm going to include us Filipinos too.
Yeah.
I want us to be mainstream. I want people to know what we are, where we're from. People know what Mexicans are.
Yeah.
People know what French people are.
Mm-hmm.
But when you mention Philippines, they're like,
where's that?
I heard there's a lot of typhoons out there. Okay. But going back to colonialism, back when all the Spanish countries today, speaking countries, they're like, Filipinas? Like,
mm-hmm.
they don't really know. We've always been in the backseat.
Yeah,
yeah.
We were colonized by the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Not many Americans know that we were colonized by the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're in the backseat.
Yeah.
We are always in the backseat.
Yeah.
And I want us to be out there.
We
want to
drive.
Exactly. We want to be in the front seat.
Yeah, we want
with,
to drive.
I want to be in the passenger seat with your hand holding my thigh. You know what I'm saying? I want to be like that. Shout out to Bryson Tiller.
Yep.
Left hand is there and the other is gripping your thigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to jump in that. You reminded me of something. There was this actress, daughter of like a beauty pageant title holder. She won, her name is like Winwin Marquez,
mm-hmm.
and she won the Reina Hispano America title.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a huge uproar.
Why?
Because people are like, you're not Latino. Why you win this title, right? But as part of having have been colonialized by the Spanish for centuries,
mm-hmm.
obviously that puts us in that category.
Yeah.
And a lot of people had a problem with it when she won the title because they did not identify her.
So this beauty pageant is for like Latino.
Like it was more, yeah, it's centered towards more of the, you know, Latino countries.
Mm-hmm.
And and she was like the first Filipino to win.
Does she look mestizo though?
No, she looks
she's
not. Because
you know
no.
most Filipino.
No, she like her obviously everyone's like a mutt. Let me see if I could, sorry you guys can't see this, but but she doesn't look, she looks more Asian I would say than
oh,
Spanish.
Yeah,
she looks,
I mean
Filipino.
That nose is definitely not Filipino, man.
Do we want to talk about the nose right now?
Our
nose?
Our nose or the Filipino nose?
Okay, so an insider joke for y'all. We have, you know, we're in a TV Dad family and what is the most prominent body part that we own is our nose. So it is identically, specifically a Filipino nose. 100%. Period. Yeah, 100%. And we show it off with pride.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's why we always laugh about it. We always joke about it. Be like, yo, look at your nose.
You got a tomato on your face.
Yeah, I grew up with that where someone's like, look at my nose. It's so like, it's. But that's our identity. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
who we are. And that's what I love, that it's our family inside joke, because we've never worn our nose in shame.
Yeah.
Ever. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of, I don't know if any other cultures have this. Maybe others do. But the Filipino culture always knocks on the nose. If you have a flat, pungy nose,
mm-hmm.
there was always this like admiration for like straight narrow noses, like what the mestiza like Spaniards or Spanish had when they came to the Philippines. And you know, that's always been this like and me and my sister will go into another topic. Y'all, you know, our Pinay sisters,
mm-hmm.
y'all know the struggle, this beauty, like, unrealistic beauty standard. But anyways, yeah, and part of that is the nose. Like, it's always
yeah.
having this Caucasian-like, mestiza-like nose.
Of course,
attention.
Well, look at all the commercials, all the movies, all
yeah.
the super actresses and actors, artistas
yeah.
in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
They are either mixed.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, Spanish blood.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Or they just look really pale,
mm-hmm.
which skin whitening out there is a problem.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
That's what
and
Filipinos are into.
We'll have that as a different topic in
yeah.
the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about unrealistic beauty standards, you know, colorism, where this is all derived. But we'll continue with our challenges today with,
yeah.
With our issues. So part of the challenges that OJ and I were talking about the other day is people not really identifying that just because we're Filipino, there is such thing as less or more Filipino,
mm-hmm.
and there isn't. Whether you know how to speak Tagalog or not, whether you know how to speak a dialogue or not, whether you're born here or not, whether your family, you know, has been like second, third, fourth generations,
mm-hmm.
if it's in your blood and you're from the Philippines, you are Filipino. It's just difficult when we hear other cultures try to identify or put us in a box where it's like, no, you're not that Filipino. Well, hold on. What kind of Filipino are you? Like, it's a weird experience sometimes, and I've had other friends kind of make jokes like this. And let's be honest, well, among friends, it's okay to have stereotypical jokes, right?
Of course.
But they would be like, oh, are you going to, like, clean my house? Or are you going to grab me Church's chicken? Like, can you grab me a double-double? It's like, that's, like, the Filipino that they think of, like, the people
or the housemaid.
Yeah, the people who are in, like, the service industry. And then when they're friends with you, they're like, oh, you're not that kind of Filipino. I'm like, hold on a second. What does that mean? Because I went to school here? Because, like, you know, because I am English speaking? Like,
yeah.
We're all Filipino. Well, the fact that I'm a first generation child of an immigrant makes me less, quote, air quote, Filipino than somebody who did just immigrate here
yeah.
2, 3, 4, or 5 years ago. It's like, it behooves
me. It doesn't
me.
Make any sense.
Like, it's,
actually,
that people
funny.
See it that way, and I don't know where that comes from, but that's our reality. And maybe, you know, some of you other Filipino millennials out there, you feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Last night, I had a 1 hour argument with my Korean girlfriend. So you already know. What's
ayo,
up.
Sayo.
Yeah, or anong sayo. That's what they say.
Anong sayo. And for you Filipinos out there who are K-drama fans, just know that OJ and his girlfriend are officially known as the sing-song couple, not the song-song couple.
Yeah.
Y'all ship. They're the sing-song couple, but I'll let you continue.
Yeah. So the root of our argument last night was that she's like, oh, man, I'm so good in Korean because I speak French, I speak English, and I'm broken Tagalog, but I get by easy. So she says, you're not Filipino. You don't speak it. So then that's when low-key I get heated up because you can't get mad at your girl because you're in self-isolation after that. About 14 days. So she says, you're not Filipino. You're not that Filipino. I don't get that Filipino vibe from you. You don't speak it. I'm like, what do you mean? I do.
Yeah.
It might be broken. We speak English out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I've been, I went there alone by myself.
Yeah.
On a Tinder date. So I roamed the streets alone, took a taxi alone, not an Uber, not a Grab.
Hit up a shoddy.
Exactly. I went out there, I spoke it, man.
You'd be like, miss.
Yeah.
Ma'am, sir.
So, but I started getting low-key butthurt. Like,
yeah.
What does that mean? Like, just because I'm born here, I don't speak it that well, that makes me less Filipino?
Yeah.
And then she says, okay, put it this way. If you take me, because I would consider my girlfriend a fob
mm-hmm.
in the most
She's
nicest way. She's
traditional.
Traditional
Korean,
yeah.
Yeah.
She put it this way. She's like, if you wanted to learn the Korean culture, would you go for me? Or would you go with the other girl or the other guy that's born here and speaks broken Korean?
Mm-hmm.
Who is more Korean? And I said, you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because
mm-hmm.
she is
more traditionally.
She's more Korean.
Traditionally
I can
Korean,
learn.
Quote. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So then I looked at it like, okay,
yeah.
versus me, versus the Filipino that immigrated here 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Who is more Filipino? And then I said, no, that's wrong because in my heart, I love being Filipino.
Yeah.
That for me, that I identify myself as a Filipino. That
mm-hmm.
for me, that should be enough to
yeah
to tell you, yo, I'm I'm a Filipino.
It's in your heart. Yeah, exactly.
But she says, no, because the way you act, you speak mostly English. You have Western tendencies,
mm-hmm.
the way you talk, the way I talk.
Because you're from here.
I know. But then she says, because you're from here, so you're not
as
Filipino as
she's
somebody.
She's like, you're not from the mainland. So like,
basically,
yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But for me, I think...
She shouldn't discount the fact that you are Filipino just because of your upbringing.
Yeah.
Because you are purely Filipino, not only in your blood, but in your heart as well. And the fact that you do practice that culture and you express your culture so much more deeply than others, you know, who were Filipino, immigrated here, and felt like they needed to assimilate and actually... dim down
mm-hmm.
downplay
yeah.
their culture, their Filipino-ness, because nahihiya sila, or
mm-hmm.
they're embarrassed
yeah.
to be Filipino. They want to be more white.
And this is for those that don't identify themselves as Filipino, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be talking to my parents. Oh, there's this Filipino celebrity, American celebrity or Filipino Canadian celebrity, and what's the first thing they ask? Oh, is he born here? Right? Okay, so there's this like disconnect. There's this like, okay, he's not one of us. She's not one of us.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
like from their perspective, because we don't know, we don't have the Filipino mindset like them.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So for them, they're like...
Even they
yeah.
classify them as like not Filipino.
Exactly.
Now.
So that doesn't give, for those stories you hear like, nahihiya, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, it's because they put us down there too.
Yeah.
That could be
true.
A reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Also their environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that's
where it becomes
I'm...
a develop. There's this wonderful thing, and I wanted to share this. There was this something on Instagram from Jen Vincent Gonzalez, and it says, you are Filipino enough, no matter the languages you may or may not speak, no matter your stance on using Philippine X, no matter the shade of your skin, no matter the fluidity of your gender, no matter your belief in a higher power, no matter if you've ever been to the motherland, or no matter when you last been to the motherland, decolonize your mind. Basically, you're Filipino enough,
mm-hmm.
right? And so for anybody else to kind of classify you other than, it's like they need to be a little bit more mindful as to, you know, how a person feels about their culture. And they need to be maybe practice a little bit of sensitivity to the fact that you can't just go and classify someone as not being Filipino enough when they know that they are Filipino enough.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they are Filipino enough. They feel it in their heart, and they live it day by day, and they're proudly Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's unfortunate that there's still like challenges like that. How about you, Parchia?
Well, actually, at my old workplace, my old recent workplace, I won't mention them, but there was a lot of the, well, I worked in production, and what my sister said earlier, there's a lot of people in production who are Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to witness that firsthand. A lot of Filipinos. You could see it click up right away, and they were mainly all older, much older than me.
And only speak Tagalog.
Yeah.
If they know that you're from here, they're like, oi.
But thing is, what happened was there's so many Filipinos speaking Tagalog that they got in trouble for speaking Tagalog.
Mm.
Oh, is that a union job? I only hear those kind of rules.
No, but it's also in a sense where they're excluding.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not even that. It's any culture. Like,
yeah,
it's others could deem it hella rude, like, you might be talking about me type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But before I came in, it was kind of like at peace. But when I was kind of the catalyst for everyone in there because I would call them out for speaking Tagalog.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that after every paycheck, all the Filipinos would go to like dinner at the end of the day or whatever. But I wasn't invited because I'm not a real Filipino. I wasn't.
To
how
them.
Dare
to
they?
Them.
Yeah.
To them. Which is what
yeah.
I was saying, right?
Yeah.
To
yeah.
them.
So I brought that up to our management, and then we had to brought all the Filipinos together, and I was just the one being all like, y'all are
rude.
Yeah,
I gotta say, mga titos, like
ruthless.
It's sad. Like you cannot complain about younger kids not reconciling with their identity as Filipino enough if there are other younger Filipinos who are working in the same place as you that you exclude.
Yeah.
Like what kind of love is that, right? Mm. It's not a very...
Where's the Filipino love?
Yeah, exactly, yung pang like, bayanihan, the kababayan love, like, where is that? Like, and then, you know, they'll be the first to shame somebody, like, but then they would go out for dinner and exclude the younger Filipino, you know,
and then when they get called out on that, they seem like, oh, they're
offended.
And I'm like, no, you're doing it wrong. First of all, it's pretty much a rule to speak English in your workplace, period. So respect thing. Like,
yeah.
Do what you're supposed to. Like, we're not in the motherland. I know, I get it, you want to speak your mother tongue, but just not.
And the ironic part is because the Filipinos have the most capability to speak English.
Yeah.
Like, it might be heavily accented, but their English is really good. And
yeah.
For them to choose to, you know, to speak their language to exclude others, that's where we get painted into a bad light.
But that's why you need to understand it so you...
And she does.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
She can't screw you over.
And the thing is, like, management was like, okay, well, let us know if they're talking some. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, well,
the
they're talking again. Like, I don't care if I'm snitching. Like, yeah, you guys are making me uncomfortable. But, and I'm a new employee. I'm a brand new employee. Like, at first you welcome me at your Filipino table, giving me your, like,
how much older
lunch.
Were they than you?
Like, much older.
Like 40s.
40s, 50s.
Yeah. Some even
okay.
older.
So titas.
Yeah. The titas and the titos, man.
So
like,
it was
so.
Fun at first. Till you call them out.
Yeah.
And then they all gang up on you and then you sit at another table. But other than that, like, it's just kind of like, doesn't make any sense.
And just adding into that, don't worry, y'all, we'll save toxic Filipino traits for another episode. However, part of that is not being allowed to say something if, you know, the old-fashioned traditional Filipinos are doing something wrong.
And that's exactly
right?
What I'm
they
honest.
Say that I'm older than you, I have seniority
yeah.
than you, I have more life experience than you, you can't tell me. We're not being disrespectful, but as what you tried to say, she was trying to be more inclusive
yeah.
and trying to identify, like, hey, be more inclusive, because by us being exclusive, it puts us, like, as a community in bad light.
Yeah, that's true.
And, yeah, I guess my sister was fortunate she understands because, you know, I know there are some of you out there who might not quite understand and who are second, third generation Filipinos here, right? I
even
bet you
first.
Yeah, even
doesn't
first,
matter.
I bet you
matter.
Felt uncomfortable. Like, you know they're speaking Tagalog. They may be saying something about you. You don't want to assume, but you feel that. Like, it hurts.
Of course, yeah.
Right? So it's like... Yeah, it's disrespectful and it's hurtful and it saddens me that, like, they're hurting somebody that they could potentially teach,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you could teach someone, like, hey, you know, or even, like, connecting on stories, like, oh, tell me how you grew up in the Philippines, like, what kinds of, like, stuff did you do in your childhood, like, so that whoever is a younger Filipino can, like, learn about that and identify with it and actually have that experience resonate with them so that they could appreciate their culture a little bit more. So, I mean, that's why we're starting this podcast, right, guys? Like, we want to help educate things, bridge some of the gap, address some of the issues of, you know, kind of old colonialist mentalities and some challenges that we face today as Filipino youths or Filipino millennials. And we hope by doing this, we're able to connect with you. You're able to feel like you're heard and you're able to feel like, somebody has gone through what I did.
You can relate.
Here's a tip for those Filipinos that are maybe shy or they want to connect with, like, the older generation, like, in a workplace or just, like, in school or just wherever, any group, right? Start with the opo.
Yeah.
Right? Start with those.
Yeah.
say the word po every time because immediately they will be like, okay.
Brownie po.
He or she knows what's up.
Yeah,
that's right? Exactly what happened at my workplace, too.
He or she knows what's up.
Yeah.
They might... be like, okay, he or she's born out here or whatever, but he was raised right, she was raised, so she
yeah
right?
And also, just to provide some perspective, and this is not always the case. I don't want to seem like we're ragging on the titas and titos out there. A lot of it is because they are self-conscious about their English. They can speak English, but they do feel self-conscious about it. They feel maybe a little insecure about it, and that's why they tend to kind of flock with whoever could speak the Tagalog or whatever dialect as them, because, you know, their self-esteem is affected a little bit, you know, when it comes to actually having to speak English, like, in the workplace. And we get that. But, you know, at the same time, like, I wanted to also provide some perspective where it's not necessarily them, like, saying something negative about you, right? If you can't speak Tagalog or you can't understand it, sometimes it really is the perspective of, like, they don't know how to talk to you, or they're actually intimidated by you. I want to share a little story about a friend of mine.
Yeah.
I put it in my notes here. So,
No names.
Okay. But if she ever listens to this, you know who you are. But don't worry, this is all love, and we laugh about this now.
Okay.
So she first came here from the Philippines maybe a couple years ago, right? And she's, like, fresh from the Philippines, and I became friends with her. Obviously, she knew, like, that I speak English a lot, but I tried to speak more Tagalog with her because I wanted to connect with her, right? And also, it was, like, great for me. Like, it's a great feeling for me to be able to speak, like, if I have the ability to speak Tagalog if I can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was three of us, we were friends, and then she would, like, laugh at my Tagalog. Okay, for other people who are first, second, third generation, fourth, fifth, whatever, and we were born here, and let's say you got to know me, and then you don't speak Tagalog, or maybe you don't understand it, and then we hang out, and then you hear me speaking Tagalog, I'm like, my family, you're like, she can speak Tagalog when I switch to Bisaya. So, like, but that's for y'all who, like, were born here. You guys were like, whoa, she can speak Tagalog. But my friend was laughing, and she was laughing her butt off because my Tagalog was actually grammatically wrong.
Really?
Yeah. What the thing is, wow, this is blowing your mind. What I love about our conversation slang or whatever in Tagalog is that it doesn't have to be proper when it's conversational. Just a disclaimer for everybody. I don't know deep Tagalog. I know conversational Tagalog. When I go home, I can get around. I can get with, you know, manong taxi. Like, I get, I'm good when I go home.
Like my Tinder date. That's how I got around.
That's
I'm good
at it podcast.
But if you listen to my, like, I can get by with my Tagalog, and I have the full accent, so it doesn't sound like an Englishized Tagalog. So, you know, it sounds like I'm speaking pure Tagalog, right? But grammatically, it's actually incorrect. Dahil alam nyo kung anong ibig ko sabihin, nobody corrects me, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, because in a regular, conversation, we don't, like, We don't hold people down to, like, you know, format or full grammar when they speak, right? So she was, like, laughing so much. And then our other friend actually spoke up, and he's, like, he's Tagalog speaking as well, and he's been an immigrant for a few years. And then he's like, hey, like, she's just trying. Like, don't, like, you know, don't worry about it. Like, you know, don't make fun of it. That's what he told her.
At least she knows how to speak.
Yeah, no, at least I'm trying.
Okay,
like, I'm trying to connect with her by speaking Tagalog.
Mm-hmm.
And she admitted that she was self-conscious about her English. That's why she doesn't want to speak English as much. So we kind of get away with me speaking in Tagalog. Sometimes I'll switch to English because I can't quite complete my Tagalog sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll always respond back to me in Tagalog. But then when I speak Tagalog to her, she's, like, laughing because it's, like, technically wrong. Because she's pure Tagalog, right? So she's, like, laughing. And then I've never felt bad just because with me it just kind of goes over my head. But, like, he actually, like, told her, like, she's trying. Like, so for, you know, as a heads up for y'all out there, if somebody is trying, even in their English-sized, accented Tagalog, right, don't make fun of them. They're trying. It's already a struggle enough to even try to say those words without feeling weird about it. So just open up and just embrace it and just appreciate that they're actually trying to, like, make some Tagalog words in there and trying to, like, you know, form a half sentence with Tagalog words in there or whatever dialect you speak.
Yeah. There's actually this Filipina professional basketball player in the Philippines. I thought she was a mestiza or whatever. And she had an interview after the game, and I swear to God, I thought she spoke better Filipino than me. But she just, she only added the words like, kase. Like, bro, I thought she was just better than me, even though she spoke English.
But she peppered some Filipino words in there.
Bro, I thought she was Filipino, but she's actually full white. But
yeah.
See, I was just about to jump onto that. What is the deal with our fellow Filipinos either not identifying each other as Filipino enough, even though they are natively and by shade, by color, by looks, are distinctively Filipino, but have the highest esteem and appreciation for other cultures, i.e. especially white. I will put a line underneath that. White people who speak Tagalog.
Even foreigners. Just foreigners.
Yeah,
just
foreigners
foreigner.
In general. They're like, oh my God, you're so wonderful. You look at you, you're just like us. But they're like of a different culture. And yet, like, your younger generation, you sort of kind of shame for not being Filipino enough. I don't understand.
It doesn't make sense, yo. Make it make sense.
But you think that's the crab thing?
Part of it is the crab. Yes, actually, not completely. Part of it is, again, that colonialist thinking.
Yeah.
It's always appreciating and admiring the white skin, the white man, right? And so, or even a foreigner, right? Like you said. So that's why, like, they would rather admire a different culture, trying to become like us, more than the younger generation who's struggling and trying to learn how, and like putting them down.
It's like those like YouTube videos of like white guy orders in Tagalog perfectly and shocks locals. Like, okay, and like, but if someone else, if I were to do that, I can't speak it.
That's impressive.
We'll give kudos to that because they love our culture enough. They want to embody our culture. They love the hospitality and the warmth. I mean, that's why Anthony Bourdain loved us.
Yeah.
But like, it's so ironic.
Can I try and break this down?
Yeah, look, please.
Let me try and dissect this because I have this thought. Okay, like when we admire the foreigner that speaks Filipino, we put him like, oh my God,
in a pedestal.
Yeah, like, oh, this person loves Filipino food. This person loves Filipino culture. This guy loves Manny Pacquiao. Okay, whatever. There's this thing where I believe that Filipinos, whether born here or in the motherland, we unconsciously put our people down. Like, we're not as good as them.
Whoa.
But let me tell you something, man. We are as good as everybody.
Let's go.
Okay? We invented the karaoke machine. People don't know that. A Filipino created the patent for the karaoke. The Filipino created the yo-yo. Okay? The Filipino is the best singer in the world. Okay?
Yeah.
We have to get that out of the way. And part of it is colonialism, that someone is better than us. That's why. Oh my! This white guy knows how to speak Tagalog. He loves us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We feel love. We. It's
someone
like we need
like,
validation.
Yeah.
Right.
But we shouldn't need to. And like again, that kind of goes into Filipinos having to take up, types of occupations that what we've been known as now, like historically, you know, service workers or whatever, because there's some, and I'm not saying all, I'm just saying that, putting that out of the way, who don't feel like they are enough. And that's why, like, you know, when I encounter, and the thing is, once upon a time, I actually thought that myself.
Yo.
And another friend of mine, she's not even Filipino. He's like, oh my God, Archie, you deserve better. No, you went to school for this. This is your talents. This is your experience. You deserve better, sis. Go for it.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. Yeah. And she's not even, like, she wasn't even Filipino. And I owe it to her why I feel like I've been able to go after opportunities and have been brazen and just be just like, makapal mukha, or in other terms, in translation, that means thick skin, to just push and just try and just be what I think I deserve. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times, and once upon a time, I thought that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't deserve to earn this much. Like, oh, I'm only this. Like, I don't know how I got that way, but I don't know if it was developed because of our culture. But yeah, once upon a time, I felt like, okay, like, I think, like, my first 4 years working, and it was in that company where I was, like, I was the token minority, I would say. I was there for, like, 4.5 years, and it's one of those things where, like, usually, like, your Filipino parents would be like, oh, once you find a good job, just stay there forever. And when they're like, it's security, you know? But I was like, no, I got stabbed in the back. I can't handle saying this. It hurts my soul too much. I need more. I know there's more out there. And then that's when I jumped to another company, one that was, like, very reputable. But, like, every time I had sought to change positions or change careers, like, I'd done, like, a couple career shifts. Like, my mom every time was like, Anak, why? Like, why are you doing that? That's insubordinate, la, la, la. She's like, no, you should just stay there forever. And as somebody not only who was born here, right, but all, and I've been so blessed to have been afforded the opportunities that I've had here, because my parents came here and sacrificed for me to be here, I feel like even more so, I owe it to them, and it is only to do them justice that I go for more, go for the sky, and go for what I deserve. That's what they bled and they sweat and they cried for. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's like, you do you, live your truth. But, like, I've had so many tumbles with my mom every time I decided to change jobs or even had a career change, because it was like, I know I can do this, I know I deserve this, I need to be more, like, this is where I need to be, this is my goal, this is my ambition. And every time it was like almost breaking her heart every time, because she's like, ah, it's another, like, you know, it's another moment of, like, instability, like, just, like, uneasiness that she has, because a lot of Filipino parents have, like,